The three magi are interesting figures in the church because we don't really know a whole lot about them. And yet they have inspired and become a source of devotion for all of us for generations. And in fact, their influence has even saved one of the most important churches in the world. When I was in the Holy Land with the seminary, we went to the Church of the Nativity, where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And in that church was built by St. Helena, and when you walk in the main body of the church, there is this huge mosaic on the wall of the three Persian kings, the three magi, bearing their gifts to the newborn king. And in the 6th century, Persians attacked this city of Bethlehem and were destroying all the churches that they could find. But when they entered in upon the Church of the Nativity, they were surprised to look at this mosaic and encounter these three Persians garbed in priestly robes. And so they figured that this building was once used by their ancestors, and so they didn't destroy the church because of that. It was actually one of their few churches that they refrained from destroying because of that mosaic. So it's beautiful to think that the Magi who traveled so far to Bethlehem continued to protect it so that others may find their way there as well and encounter the child that they encountered. I think that's why the Magi are so intriguing, because in their short time and with how little we know about them in salvation history, they can teach us so many lessons. And I'd like to focus on three particular lessons I think that they give to us. The first lesson is attentiveness. These three magi were astronomers, and so they had to be attentive to the changes that occurred in the cosmos. They took the time, energy, and commitment to be attentive to the stars and even notice when a new one appeared. Now, the word attentive means to expect and to stretch one's mind toward. And so the Magi expected that the stars they were studying, they would encounter something new. They were stretching their minds to find newness. Now that's amazing, because when I look at the stars, I wouldn't be able to tell if any of them are new. And yet, in our relationship with God, we compare that, are we expecting Him to encounter Him in a new way? Are we stretching our minds out towards Him like the Magi? After all, if the Magi did not expect to even see a new star, they would never have even looked up. And if we never expect to see God in the midst of our day, we will never find Him either. Now, this is hard work, because like I said, the first time the Magi looked up to the stars, I'm sure that they were overwhelmed with their number, and they could not notice anything new among them. And yet how similar it is with our lives, where the day-to-day activities overwhelm us, and it can seem like God is nowhere to be found. And yet, if we grow in attentiveness with our lives, we will soon grow familiar, like those stars, the Magi, and we begin to notice that new light that God is giving to us. So the first lesson of the Magi is to grow in attentiveness. Second lesson we can learn from the Magi is faith. We live in a culture that is all about certainty. It has begun to bleed into our faith culture, that we want to know where God is leading us in our life. We don't want to know God is calling us, we want to know where God is calling us. We want to know where our journey ends and what we may have to give up to get there. Now, what's interesting is that the Magi themselves were not Jews. So they did not know the Hebrew scriptures or know all the prophecies foretelling Jesus. They simply saw the light of that star and they followed it. They did not know where the light would lead them, how far that journey would take them, how long it would take, but they went on this journey of faith nonetheless. And so the Magi also did not trust in their ability to know everything about the star, only that it was there and that they could follow it. The journey of our faith often appears uncertain as to where God is leading us in our life. And so we must have that same faith as these Magi to follow this light of Christ, even if we don't know where he is leading us. So the second lesson of the Magi is to grow in faith. The third lesson is humility. There are, when we hear our gospel, there are four worldly kings that we hear about. Then we, if we include our Lord, that's one heavenly king. We have the three Magi and King Herod. Now, three of these four earthly kings teach us the virtue of humility. King Herod, we hear, hears about this newborn king, and his first reaction is immediately to feel threatened. His kingship is now at risk with this new king. And it may kind of be easy and tempting to look down on King Herod and even judge him, but don't we at times also feel threatened by Christ just as Herod was? That we enjoy and find comfort in being the kings and queens of our life. And if we are honest with ourselves, we will find parts of our heart that are threatened by the news of this newborn king, one who is going to rule differently than us. So we must ask ourselves, where are we threatened by Christ, the newborn king? Compare this to the Magi, though, who, on the other hand, are humble because they're willing to lay their kingship behind. They actually fall in adoration before this babe in a manger. They even bring him gifts. But the Magi also are willing to learn and grow in humility. Notice how at first they went to Jerusalem to find Jesus. After all, that makes sense. Why wouldn't a newborn king be born in the capital, this great city, in a palace? And yet they did not find him there, but in a manger. So I wonder if they realized how much they still had to learn from him when they found him in that humble stable. Are we humble enough to lay aside our king and queenship and to learn from Christ as well? In this new year, what king, queen will we become? A threatened one or a humbled one? Three lessons: attentiveness, faith, and humility. Three lessons from three Magi, all brought about because they followed a simple star, a star which led them to a child who would be a king, if only we would have him.